Okay, now today we are going to continue again as usual in what we have been discussing in the last few. Today will be third day. Remember, we started this season. We said we are discussing what we called financial management for Christians. Do you remember that? So let's quickly just remember that we said that there is seed for the sower. We said that, remember, God has something to say about everything. And that the Bible says that you need to learn the fear of God in anything that you are doing, and that nothing comes to you spontaneously in life as the fear of God. The fear of God must be learned. That's why David said, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of God." This young man, I won't mention his name, visited me yesterday, and we discussed extensively. He's here this evening, but and as he was talking, I'll tell him, "Thank you very much. That thing you have just said is my sermon for tomorrow." Tomorrow being today. Now, because he said so many things that are actually in my heart and I wanted to share. So I'll refer to so many of the things that I said in my discussion with him yesterday. Now, I said that we have to learn the fear of God and that God has something to say about every aspect of life. Why did I remember him? Because I remember a statement he made. He wasn't around when we talked last week and the week before. But he made a statement that he said it appeared to him as if the foundation, that is the test of how you can handle anything in life, is how you handle money. I said it's the word of God. We read it in the last two teachings. And I think I like that expression, that we have also established it here, that the test of how you handle any other thing in life is how you handle money. Let me just say something quickly. This is just by the way, but you know the way we do this teaching. We just keep talking and we keep learning. Now I have noticed, now the Bible says it clearly, that if you don't serve the Lord thy God willingly, all right? Notice the word willingly. He said you will serve your enemies forcefully. That was what God told the children of Israel. That you will either serve the Lord thy God willingly, with a willing heart, or you will serve your enemies compulsorily. That is, it will be imposed upon you. God will tell the children of Israel, you will come before me and offer these sacrifices. This is how you will handle your resources. He told them, and nobody enforced it per se. Now, there were a few things that could be enforced. If you stole, they probably had a law enforcement agency that will catch you and punish you for stealing. But what you did in your worship of God was a spontaneous, let me say, a free will thing. But God will tell you what to do. But nobody lays a compulsion upon you to do them. But if you don't do them, what will happen is that the Romans will come in, overrun you, and take those same things from you by force. Are you getting my point? When God took the children of Israel out of the promised of their homes, not promised land now per se, it's promised land though. But when he took them out of their homes and took them into captivity, what did he tell them? That while you are in captivity, the land will enjoy its Sabbath. That is, the principle was that you farm for 6 years, the seventh year, the land should get a Sabbath, no farming. They refused to observe it. He said, when all of you are in captivity, the land will be enjoying the Sabbath that you denied it. Now, why am I saying that? I have noticed that if Christians, that is why I said that, the things I said about serving the Lord willingly or serving your enemies forcefully. You know, recently, I'll be honest with you, I have become overwhelmed. That is, I am tired, actually, of going to church and churches, and people are always trying to raise money. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. Now, now, the argument, if you talk to a lot of men of God, if they are, some of them, being honest with you, it's as if, how else do we get money to do the things we are supposed to do? Now, some of the things that people do, to me, they are very, very bad. They are very bad. In that you tell lies. Now, when I say lies, the story might be accurate, but the foundation upon, that is, the application is inaccurate. Now, let me say what I'm trying to say. Somebody will tell you, like, I was having problems, and I gave $1,000 seed. And since that day, my finances broke open. Now, I'm telling all of you, take $1,000. Now, you see, let me tell you the truth. That's a lie. I don't care what anybody says. That is a pure lie. Now, I'm not saying the person did not give $1,000 seed, and his finances did not break open. I'm not saying that. But to tell all of us to start doing what he did or she did is pure lie. Why? Because there is no scripture that says, take $1,000 seed. Or even take any seed at all and use it to break your problems. God never said that.
My wife was telling me this morning. She said, "Are you saying those things never happen?" I said, "That's not the issue. But once a man repeats it and tells me everybody start doing it, then it becomes a lie." Error is not something that has no foundation in truth. No. Error is when truth is carried beyond its limits. Are you getting my point? You're a lawyer, my man. If you carry American jurisprudence, how do you call it, and you bring it to Nigeria, it knows it no go work. Are you lying? No. But you have crossed the borders. You have reached Nigeria. It has become error. I hope you are getting the principle of what I'm trying to say. Now, so why I make that statement I made is that one of the issues is that when Christians don't learn the truth, when they don't learn the truth, they are forced to practice errors. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you don't do things willingly, as God ordained it, people will force you to do the wrong things. Listen, the main problem with people is that they don't like sound doctrine. And that's what I try to teach. There are things before I want to ignore talking about. Then these days, I make statements. And why am I making the statement? I'm making the statement so that whoever wants to believe the truth, we have a reference. Now, I make the statement I know nobody will accept. But I make it believing that if somebody wants to obey the truth, it will have a reference point. I hope you are getting my point. What I'm explaining is this. My desire is to teach what the Bible expects believers to practice. So that the Bible says you will no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I went somewhere recently and the man of God was preaching very powerfully. So we enjoyed many of the things he said. We really had a nice time. I was with a friend of mine. So we left and we're talking about it. But just before we parted, I said, "For the records, you know I don't believe what the man said." He said, "I know." I said, "Good. So let's, because we've been talking and laughing since." I said, "Meanwhile, before we part, for the record, you know I don't agree with him." He said, "I know now." I said, "Good." And quickly, to be sure, I said, "Listen, this is the way it is. You know, that it is the blood of Jesus and it's the sacrifice that delivers you from all oppression was done by Jesus. I hope you understand that. I hope you understand. You see, because the impression people were being given is that the reason that people sacrifice animals to curse you, you know, that when people want to do evil against you, they will go and sacrifice animals. He said, "Okay, you sacrifice a bigger offering to God. So the man sacrificing a cow, you can sacrifice ₦1,000,000. That way, your offering is bigger than his own." I said, it has nothing to do with defense against evil. Do you get my point? It might be sweet and romantic when we are discussing it. But reality is that has nothing to do with defense against evil. I always say, when Balaam opened his mouth and said there is no enchantment against Jacob, you know, they were just lying down. They were just sleeping and gisting. So, "Boy, what happened last week when you were in law school? After that, and when you were driving from Agbani, how was the road?" They were just discussing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They were not trying to antagonize the altars of Balaam. Not at all. The Bible says when the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him compulsorily. Are you understanding me? I'm just trying to establish some things today that, please, what we are doing is to teach what the Bible says Christians should practice. That way, it becomes easy for you not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Do you feel what I'm trying to say? Please. Because one of the things about people, let me just add, this is also doctrine I'm teaching, is that the grace of God I discovered this after now, just thinking about it, I think is the most difficult things for people to practice. What do I mean? This is the way human beings are. If a man is bound and God says, you are free, you can go, he seems not to want to go free. So he stays in the place of bondage. Then after that, a man comes and says, "Do you want to go free?" He says, "Yes." "Do you want to be free?" The guy says, "Yes." "Pay ₦500,000 now." Then you pay ₦125,000 next week. Then pay ₦125,000 6 weeks after. Then after that, you'll be paying ₦10,000 yearly, monthly for the next 10 years. If you break it, you are back in bondage. Do you know the moron we pay? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Meanwhile, God came and said, "Oh boy, those gates are open. You are free. You can go anytime you want. You don't have to stay here." The guy will stay there. He will refuse to go. If you push him out, you keep on looking around whether police wants to rearrest him. Yet, if a man who doesn't have any power, not to even compare it in magnitude to that of God, comes and says, pay money and you will go free, the guy will pay and feel free. Do you understand the principle? Once he has paid, he feels like, I have done what I am supposed to do. Now I can lay claim to my freedom. That is in exact opposition to grace. Grace says, the only reason why I am free is because I was told by God that I am free. What did you do to purchase freedom? Nothing. I just believed that they said that I am free. You get my point? I'm sorry to say this, but this is why it is so easy to make a merchandise of the gospel, if you are anointed especially. It is very easy. Because maybe somebody says, I want to understand the scriptures. I could tell the person that you want to understand, just say, God, I want to understand, and sit down daily and read it, and you will have understanding. Most people will accept. But I said, break the mind offering for understanding. That guy will sell his car because he wants to understand. Are you seeing the point I'm making? Do you follow what I mean when I say that grace seems to be the most difficult thing for people to practice? Because this is the way it works. A man is about to fall off a cliff. Grace says, don't reach out for anything. Just fall. Nothing will happen. You look the person talking to you. Says, something is wrong with you. But if a spider spins a web, do you know he will reach for the spider's web? Try not to fall. Ordinary spider. Why? Because he's doing something. They've told this story again and again. That when a man is drowning, as long as he still has energy, is the wrong time to try to rescue him. That let him try. When he has fainted from exhaustion, the expert swimmer will go in and move his limp body out. But if you try while the guy still has energy, one thing you cannot persuade him to not to do is to reach out for you. Meanwhile, that is the way by which he will kill both you and himself. Please, let me say this as a beginning for record purposes. You don't give to God so as to prosper. You don't buy prosperity with money from God. Let me say this for record purposes. I will develop on it as we go on. It is not possible to give money so that God can give you back a car. It is spiritual stupidity and madness. Let me say it clearly to you. Your enemies are not afraid of your offering. You can't give God enough to defend you against your enemies. It's not possible. You either accept what he has said, that he's your defense, or you forget it. Do you understand my point? You know, something happened today, which I just want to use to illustrate. This morning, I was brushing, I was in the room, so I was moving up and down. Then I had a knock on the door, soft knock, and the person says, Daddy. So instinctively, I thought it was Akinolu, that's my son. So I was brushing, so I mumbled something like, come in now. So I was trying to get, I was just moving up and down the room. And it didn't come in. So I went to the door and opened the door. And my eyes came down to the level where his head is supposed to be. And what I saw were adult knees. So I raised my head and saw it was a young woman that just started living with us. And that's how she addresses me, Daddy. Do you know, there was a spiritual thing that came to my mind. Because when he didn't come in, I was wondering what was wrong. Because my son doesn't do that. My wife calls him Buster. Like he bursts into the room. Once you see the door just swing open, bam, you know it's Akindu that has come. Now, why am I saying this? He's my son. He has absolute freedom around. Let me ask you a simple question. What offering can he give me to give him greater rights to burst into that room? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There is nothing extra he can do. In fact, I'm telling this story because it surprised me that this guy tapped on the door and said Daddy, and waited. So I went there like, what is the problem? That was what came to my mind. What is the problem? Why is he standing at the door? Only for me to open the door and find it was not him. Then it made sense that I can look here, stand at the door, knocking, saying Daddy, not him. He kicks the door down. You understand my... Interestingly, if for any reason the door is locked, He will get there, push the door will open. Open the door for me now. I mean, the guy starts banging the door. He has never given me an offering. You know, that's the problem. He bought that freedom with nothing. He bought it just with just being there, which is exactly what God said in Isaiah chapter 55. He said, come, you that's hungry and thirsty. He said, come and buy without money and without cost. So I was telling my wife this morning, so why do you use the word buy? He said, because they are very coming is a cost. It's payment. That for just coming, he has received something. Do you understand my principle? Listen, most of the things we teach is nothing but a demonstration of faithfulness. Because like I was quoting to you earlier, that the foundation for your ability to handle things with God is on how you handle busy things like money. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. Please get that clear. Because I see people getting excited that I just rushed forward and I dropped. And the fellow is telling me because he feels like, I've just secured my breakthrough. Like I always say, if any man is telling me, this is for your breakthrough, I say, I broke through before God called you to ministry. I'm serious about that. That is, before God called you to ministry, breakthrough was conferred upon me. I hope you are getting the point. Listen, this is sound doctrine. I told you last time that, in fact, interesting enough, I read a page, there's a book my wife is reading now about Hudson Taylor. And one man made a statement there that Christians often don't give because they are not given the opportunity or they don't make it possible, open the door or the avenue for them to. It is not because they are selfish people necessarily. Listen, any man who has the Spirit of God in him, this is the way God does it. He has the ability to give and give excessively. He has what I call the spirit of the Macedonians. Do you get my point? And what doctrine, the teaching of the word of God does actually, is to remove hindrances from people's faces. I just wanted to say all of these things as a foundation for what we are, well, just to get some things clear. Because I said the issue is that people should stop being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But you cannot stop being tossed to and fro if you don't have the right doctrine. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's why I say you have to serve God willingly. Otherwise, you serve your enemies forcefully. That's the way it works. The only way to maintain your freedom is to know the true knowledge of God. Are you getting my point? Now, let's go back into the main thing that we've been discussing. So I said that, you know, in previous times, we said, of course, we are talking about financial management, biblical financial management. That in every money that God gives you, there is what the Bible calls seed for the sower, and there is bread for the eater, or what the Bible calls bread for food, is the same thing. Then last time we established that there are, of course, I talked about one kind of seed, but I said there are two kinds. But I said the first one is what I call spiritual seed, if I may just quickly add to it. And the second one is physical seed. There are two kinds of seed. In every money that God gives you, there are two kinds of seed. No, I said there's bread for food, which is the one you eat for yourself, spend on yourself, and there is seed for the sower. And I said that seed for the sower, there are two types. There is spiritual seed. What is spiritual seed? We said that is the one that you offer on the altar of the priestly corner of your life. Remember what I said last in previous teachings? That in your life, there is what is called the priestly corner of your life. Please, I don't have time to, although I'm going to talk about that again further today, but I don't want to go over everything we said in the past. Let me just keep going. And we said that what happens actually is that the Bible says there is what is called treasure in heaven. And that treasure in heaven is never free. God does not give anybody treasure in heaven for free. But treasure in heaven is bought with your acts of faithfulness. I prefer that word. Your acts of obedience, your acts of love. Things that you do in denying yourself so as to be a blessing to somebody else. It procures for you what? Treasure in heaven. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So we said that treasure in heaven. Now, there's something I'm going to connect with, which is what I want to go on from today. But that treasure in heaven, which is procured by the offerings offered on the altars in the priestly corner of your life is actually the foundation for every other thing. We established that anyone worshiping God, the worship of God to the natural man is often a waste of time and of resources. If a natural man observes you serving God, you are wasting time. You are really wasting time. We said under the old covenant, God told the children of Israel that every year you will take a tithe of your increase, take it to the presence of the Lord and spend it. Finish it. Kill everything. Which an economist will look at and say, you could have reinvested that money even if you didn't want it. But God said, if you invest it, everything will die. Do you understand my point? That Jacob, when he was going to give God what he promised, what did he do? He just killed the animals and set them on fire. To a natural person, that's a waste. And what I said, what we did explain last time is that the things that you do in that priestly corner of your life may appear like a waste. But listen to this, you cannot stop doing it. That is what sustains the physical things that you're actually doing. Are you getting my point? Now, please bear that in mind. Now, there's something I want to use. I want to continue from there because I realize that, one, as a matter of foundation for life, we cannot say this enough. Then second, so that people will understand balanced doctrine, we have to keep saying it also. And that's this issue of spiritual seed. I want to spend time again, at least for some minutes today, to explain it before I now go into the other kinds of things, if we have time to get there. Now, let's quickly read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. This is a portion, if I don't know why we're even opening there, because we all know it very well. I don't think it's really necessary. We're talking about faith. The Bible says that, I want to just read from verse 3. It said, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. We have to understand that. Now, because of time, I won't read other scriptures I wanted to read. That from Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar dreamed, and he dreamt that there was this, he saw a great tree, that's all the stories, and then the tree was cut down. Daniel said that the purpose of everything that was going to happen was to help Nebuchadnezzar understand that it's heavens that rule on this earth. That it's the heavens that rule. That God indeed reigns in the affairs of men. Very, very important. Now, what am I saying? The Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen are not made out of things that are visible. This is why I'm saying this. What makes you a believer? I keep on saying this. It's not that you go to church. Do you understand? What makes you a believer is that what? You believe something. Sounds funny, but that's a fact. That you're not a believer because you said you're a believer, but you're a believer because you believe something. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what do you believe as a believer? He said, by faith, we understand that what we see on this earth was not made out of physical things that appear to connect to them. Let me say it again. That if you see a man succeed financially in business, that you can never say it is because he went to one good school or he had connections. God said no. If you say that, you are not a believer. You don't believe anything. So I'm explaining this. That as a believer, if you understand that, then your attitude when it comes to financial things must also reflect it. Do you get my point? Now, I told you that I had a discussion with somebody yesterday, and a lot of those discussions I'm going to repeat for you today. Now, he told me a story. Maybe I should just mention your name to make life easier for me. Don't you think so? All right, it was Brown. All right. Now, we discussed a number of things, but now that I've mentioned his name, there are stories I can't tell you anymore. So please, you have to just bear with that. But then other ones you still get. Now, he described some things for me, which was interesting. That he had colleagues, whether they are friends or enemies, I don't know. But he had colleagues that they did house job for 1 year. And for the full year that they were earning money, they hardly gave anybody a dime. Not out of wickedness, but out of perceived necessity. That is, a man said, I need this money to be able to travel abroad. So he gathers every dime. Why does he want to go abroad? He wants to get a stamp on his passport saying that he has been abroad once, so that when he finally wants to go to America, they will respect him. You know, you understand the principle. You know, if you go to the UK embassy and you have a Netherlands, visa on your passport, they feel like you've been traveling. They are more disposed to giving you a visa. So sometimes people do that just to make themselves appear more, let me use the word, marketable at the embassy. Believe me, that guy believes nothing, spiritually speaking. Because if you believe something, you will understand that the Bible says that promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. But God is judge. He lifts up one and brings out another. Are you getting my point? That the day God is ready, if he becomes ready on your behalf to go somewhere, they will pursue you to your house with a passport, with a visa. I've told the story of a friend of mine, it happened to. People were just filling forms carelessly. She also filled a photocopied version of a photocopied photocopy. You know the way it goes, very faint, and submitted it. In the whole nation, they chose only two people she was amongst. And she did not even know because her mother-in-law just died and they were going about the funeral. Then somebody said, have you not found out that you have been selected to take a one-month tour of about six European countries, all expenses paid plus $1,000 for pocket money? Now, that's how bad it was that by the time she finally got to the Belgian embassy, they were surprised that a Nigerian could keep them waiting for weeks. That we gave a Nigerian visa and the person has not yet died in collecting it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That the Belgian ambassador phoned her house and said, do you want us to courier your passport back to you or you will come to Abuja to collect it? The Belgian ambassador phoning somebody in the house. She told me then that she told her husband, just held the phone and said, my husband, I told you I'm important. The Belgian ambassador is on the line. Why? Because God said this is the time. I know her very well. My good friend cannot recognize Ikeja Airport. Before that day, she couldn't. That is, you know what I mean by that. The only sea she ever crossed was that River Niger, if you can call it a sea. Do you understand my point? That's it. We have come to understand that. That's what makes us believers. Therefore, it reflects on how we spend money. Do you understand my point? That is, I understand that, listen, I will not prosper anyway if the priestly corner of my life is neglected. So what is my problem? That if God wants to get me anyway, I must be pleasing to him. So why am I pretending? Because I've told you the main thing with God, it's not that God wants you to bribe him. No, it's just that God will not reward unfaithfulness. He said, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God and he shall bless thy bread and thy waters. That is, the commitment to God is what compels him to bless. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. It is not as if God needs you to give him money. No, it is just that if you don't do certain things, you know what God notices or God reads? He's saying that you are not expecting blessings from my hand. Do you understand my point? No, it's like you want to marry a young woman and you fix wedding for December and you never went to her father to go and say, good morning, sir. The man will know you really don't plan to marry this girl. No, it's not as if good morning is payment for the girl. It's just that if you never came with a bottle of wine to say, I was just passing by, so I said, let me just say good morning, then you obviously are not a serious potential son-in-law. I'm saying that there are things we don't do that God reads as the fact that you are not expecting blessing from his hand. It is not as if he needs bribery. It is just that if you walk in a particular fashion, it is clear that you are not believing God for blessing. That your prosperity, your promotion is not coming from God. And God, therefore, is not compelled to bless you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He that comes to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he's saying. Do you understand that principle? That's why what we are teaching is actually a matter of faithfulness. Because how you act depends on where you expect your blessing to come from. That's why you hear me say it all the time. You can never persuade me that money is an American. You can't. Yeah, no, prosperity is not a British citizen. Do you get my point? Well-being and financial security was not made in Europe. God is judge. He lifts up one and brings out another. So if God lifts you up in Rwanda, you are lifted. Do you get my point? If God decided that it is in Kotangora, no, listen, that Bill Gates will be phoning you to say, fellow billionaire, how are you doing? Then no, that of a truth, prosperity can flow towards Kotangora, and if you behave otherwise, then you're not expecting anything from the hands of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's all that God is saying. God is not like, come and bribe me. No, I have to know that it's from my hands that you're expecting blessing. Remember what I said? God is not demanding, therefore, that you should be impulsive. This impulsive attitude is not what God is asking from believers. You know my impulsive attitude? If you wake up in the morning, suddenly you have a flat tire, and so you look and say, I need new tires. What do I do? Let me go and give offering of old tubes in church. When I drop the tubes, God will reward me with tire. Listen, Bible says God is not mocked. He said, what is man sows? No, he said that I, the Lord, I test the heart before I judge the quality of your seed. You have not because you ask not. We don't seem to read our Bibles correctly. Do you follow what I'm saying? However, we are teaching what? Faithfulness. That God said, there is seed for the sower and there is bread for food. Let me tell you something. This is what God is saying. Jesus, they asked Jesus at a point in time. They said that, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And he took a coin. He said, whose likeness and whose inscription is this? They told him, Caesar. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God. What am I trying to say? You must never eat the portion of your money that is seed for the sower. And you must not sow the portion that is bread for food. There is a time for everything, he says. So you must not use God's time for Caesar. And you must not use God's Caesar's time for God. That's what he was saying. Therefore, God is saying you have to learn to number the resources I have given to you. Are you getting my point? The ability to count is a sign of spirituality. What I'm trying to say is that to be able to sit down and consider. No, it's important. He said, which one of you will want to build a tower? Who will not first sit down and count the cost? Believers like to walk as if it's thinking is alien to spirituality. But I always say it's a cover for irresponsibility. Don't mind all this one because the Spirit of God told me. You know, people who are basically irresponsible, they are waiting for the Spirit of God to wake them up in the morning and say, brush your teeth. So why is your mouth smelling? He said, my spirit did not say brush this morning. Instead of the guy to say that I don't have toothpaste. He said it is because his spirit did not say brush. Are you getting what the point I'm trying to make? So please, brethren, don't ever forget. I see, I said I wouldn't go over this, but I'm tactically going over it again. But let me just get back to what I want to say. So, now, I have also realized that as a believer, if you believe in spiritual things, what marks you out, listen, different from the person beside you, is the fact that you recognize that spiritual things exist and you act like you recognize so. Brown was telling me yesterday, no, don't know our discussion. He said that there are times people who say that, you know, maybe you give money to something, people will tell you you are foolish. When he said that, I said, then you are beginning to get it right. Because if you spend money exactly like the unbeliever, you are exactly like him. You don't believe anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, it is right, spiritually speaking, that one day the man says, why have you not eaten? And he said, boy, I'm broke right now. He said, what happened? He said, last week I gave this money for this particular purpose. He said, no, but I saw you last week with 5,000. I said, okay, that one. You know what happened was that, now, you can give him any stupid, what I mean by stupid now, in his own eyes, maybe you say you gave the money as an offering, or you went to, you know, they told you they were visiting a motherless baby's home, so you gave it to the motherless baby's home. Or there's somebody, that man has been a blessing to me in the past. He was passing by, and I felt that I should honor a prophet. Now, all of this, do you understand what I'm saying? To him is foolishness, because that was the last 5,000 that you had. It's a matter of understanding. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you one small story that will make you laugh. One day, when I was a house officer, when I was being paid 700 naira a month as salary. So, one day I was dancing. I was feeling very happy. Hey, I was feeling cool. Then one of my colleagues, Jerry came and said, Blackie, that's what they used to call me then, my fellow house officers. He said, Blackie, what's going on? I said, they just delivered my Bible. The boy looked at me. I said, yes, the Companion Bible by R.W. Bollinger. I bought it for 250 naira or so. The guy looked me. He said, Blackie, you don't begin, Chris. He's a worry boy. The guy looked me and said, Blackie, you don't begin, Chris. His own is at number one. Out of this meager income, of which we know you, you don't even do any PP. You have committed 200 and something naira to buying a Bible. Okay, fine. On top of that, the stupid investment arrived and you are rejoicing, you know? You are dancing. The guy looked and said, this guy, something must be wrong with him. I remember one day I was talking with a few friends. I said something like that. That I pledged this particular amount in a particular place. Somebody there said, come on. Like, you mean you are able to, you know, that amount of money out of this little money that you have? Now listen, that is because I recognize that there is a spiritual side to life. Do you understand my point? Listen, I don't want to appear as if I'm sounding that giving crazily is not good. No. I am just saying that, please, it is not to bribe God. He is not bribed. After all, somebody came once and told Jesus Christ. No, Jesus was standing and he said, look at that woman. And the woman dropped 2 mites. And Jesus said, that is her last earning. Or the last money she had to live on. He said, that woman has given more than everybody else. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, Jesus did not say that she's being foolish. But you also recognize that nobody stood there and said, this is the key to your breakthrough. You know, you understand what I'm trying to say? Nobody did. And that's the one I don't like. Because let me say it for records again. Let me say it for the records. If you have been given so that this big key for your breakthrough, your key just went out into the well. You understand my point? And you're not likely to find it. Because Paul said, even if I give my body to be burned, and these things are not motivated by love. He said, I do what? Profit nothing. Please, I don't have all the time. Let me explain what I'm going to say and conclude there now. See, priestly corner of life exists in every money that you give, you earn. Do you understand my point? I'll give myself as a testimony, as an example, not a testimony, just as an example. I work, I have a secular job. All right, and I get a paid salary regularly. I mean, every month. Do you get my point? Before the money is paid, I have already decided long before what is going to wear. There was a time I was telling this guy yesterday that I was expecting some money, and my wife had been planning for the money. You know, like when this money arrives. In fact, I am going to do what I have planned. you get my point. So one day he asked me that, how far? I said, they said that they're about to pay the money. She said, good. I said, by the way, I think that the Lord wants us to, I said, I think the Lord wants it. She was in the kitchen that day, I think, cutting something. She just did like, fine, and continue what she was doing. Now, the way I shared out the money to all the places it went, no, it didn't pinch me at all. You know why? The pinching day was the day I wrote it off. After that, if you say 50,000 is for this particular place, in my mind, it's not my money. You can spend it anywhere you like. Are you getting my point? Why? Because I have already made room in my heart for that expenditure. That's what I want to emphasize. Most people cannot operate their priestly offices. You know what I mean? They cannot service the priestly altars because they don't make room. You know, one of the problems I have with this offering time, blessing time, is that, you know, people give God change and it annoys me. Maybe I should just go into that. When you say you give to God, you know, God knows the chop. And it's not, he doesn't buy his food with naira, even if he was buying food. You can't cook enough amala to make God salivate. He doesn't. You understand what I'm meant to say? There is nothing you can do. So when you say you are giving to God, what is it that you are doing with money that you call giving to God? Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, because I need to explain that. Because the Bible says, talking about the priestly corner, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first of all thy increase. Now, if you're honoring the Lord with your substance, now, what I've been emphasizing today is the fact that as a believer, you are not too poor that you can't do it. It is that you have no understanding, that is your problem. Or you have no faith. You don't recognize that God is looking at it, that you are not expecting blessing from his hand. That's why you're not doing it. It's like the Israelites not offering sacrifices regularly. God said, you see, you have denied the covenant. I hope you are getting my point. You're following what I'm trying to say. Now, if you understand that, therefore, you plan ahead. Oh God, how do I explain this? You must always make the room that when this comes, this is a priest's corner. That must be sacrificed. Again, it is not like, you know, when I do that, God will give me this. That's not the issue. It is more like that is a covenant. It's a matter of faithfulness. You are following what I'm saying? Now, I was not saying that how do you honor God when you say this is what I do? Now, I don't have time to go into all the, you know, using the scriptures to explain all these things. I just want to, I will make the point because our time is really running. Number one, of course, there are many ways. One is that if God says honor somebody, you must honor the person. And honoring the person is given to the Lord. Now, let me tell you something about honor. You know, I was telling you, Brown, when we were discussing yesterday. For example, God said you must honor your parents. Listen to me. It has nothing to do with poverty or lack. It doesn't have anything to do with that. You know, there's a story I heard recently. In fact, I think I mentioned it to you again, Brown, yesterday. I didn't tell you the story, but I used the expression from the story. It was my pastor in Lagos that told the story. I don't know whether it's a good story. When it really happened, I don't know. That's my pastor in Lagos. He said, one big man, very rich man, an MD. The man is not a very righteous man, so he used to do bad things. So he had an affair with one of the ladies that worked for him, and his wife found out because the young woman was pregnant. So one day he was eating in the morning, eating. His wife came and said, Jolene is pregnant. So the man looked up and said, that's her problem. That's her problem. So the woman said, you are responsible. So the man said, okay, in that case, that's my problem. So when the woman looked at how unruffled the man was, he said, in fact, I'm packing out of your house. Lou said, that is your problem. Are you getting my point? What I want to say is that everybody has his own problem in life. Your problem is to honor your father. His problem is whether he needs the money or not. It is not your problem. After all, it doesn't need the money. It is not your money. Do you get my point? There's a practice people used to practice, and it's very good. You know, those days, a siblings practice a lot like this. A young man leaving school, the first job he gets, the first salary he's paid, he gives to his father. It's a very good practice. Very, very, very sound. Why? Because the Bible said that if I am a father, God was talking about it. He said, where is my honor? He was talking about sacrifices. That you bring me this, bring me that, bring me that. Can you give it to your governor? He said, take it to your governor, whether he will take it from you. Malachi chapter 1. God was explaining that a father, he said, a son honors the father. What was he saying? That a son offers sacrifices to the father. I'm using some words. Are you getting my point? Now that I have told you the name Brown, I can't tell you some of the things we discussed now. Anyway, I was discussing with some brethren.